Okay, let's begin our discussion of Shabbos Yerushalmi Kuf Yud Beis, the second to last daf here in Masechta Shabbos, and we are on Kuf Yud Aleph Beis Hakash Sha'al Gabe Hamita. So we're talking about issues of Muksa. So Hakash Sha'al Gabe Hamita says the Mishnah that in the days of old mattresses were made of straw, and you put straw on a bed, or straw even though a stama, the straw was used for firewood for hasaka. But you also use it for mattress. So how do you designate it to know that it'll be used for a mattress and not used for firewood? You can lie in it on Shabbos. So if you did something before Shabbos, as we'll see, then okay, then you already designated it, then it's not muksa. But if I didn't, so akasha gabi amita, if I have the straw on the bed, lo yinaneo biyado, I'm not allowed to fix it and get it ready for my going in with my hands, meaning direct touching of the muksa, that's a problem. But avamananeo begufo, I could get onto the straw, and then go to sleep and move it with my body. That's called tiltul begufo. Right? We mentioned even recently, I think, within the last week or two, the two types of moving muksa, not in the normal way. Tiltul begufo and tiltul min hatzad. Tiltul begufo means moving muksa with some other part of my body, move muksa directly, meaning I'm touching the muksa, but moving it in a way that, other than my hands, moving it with my elbow, moving it with my foot. That's tiltul begufo. And then there's tiltul min hatzad. Tiltul min hatzad means I'm moving the muksa with my hands, but I'm not moving, there's something else in between. Tiltul min hatzad. Right? That's I'm moving the case of the barrel. I have a barrel and the rock on top of the barrel in a case that it's not a buses, so the barrel is not muksa. So I move the barrel, so that's tiltul min hatzad. That's moving the muksa in an indirect way. And if you remember the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Aleph, Shin Yud Aleph Zayin Ches. Shin Yud Aleph Ches. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Tiltul min hatzad is more chamor than tiltul begufo. Tiltul min hatzad is only mutter letzorach davar hamutter. Tiltul min hatzad. If I want to use the barrel, then I can move the barrel, and even though the rock's on top of it, and again, in a case that's not a basis, so then that will be mutter. Tiltul min hatzad letzorach davar hamutter mutter." Hilkach, the case that's come up numerous times here in Yerushalmi, you had in Seder Zerama a number of times, in Kilayim, Tznon Shetoman Ba'aretz. Remember, you have a radish that you wanted to keep cool on Shabbos, and therefore you put it into the ground in order to refrigerate it, and Mixas Alam Megulim, some of the leaves are revealed and sticking out of the ground. V'lo Hishrish, and it didn't take root. V'gam Lo Niskaven Luzriya, you didn't put it in the ground in order to plant it, you just put it in there to keep cool. Note, though, you can pick it up on Shabbos. Even though through picking it up you're going to move some dirt, it's okay. That's called tiltul min hatzad. I'm moving the dvar mutter directly, even though that memela moves something muksa. Fine. And then the Shulchan Aruch says v'tiltul begufo afilu letzorach davar ha'aser mutter. But tiltul begufo is mutter even letzorach davar ha'aser. Hilkach, therefore. What's the example that the Shulchan Aruch gives? Our case. Kash sha'al hamita. Distamo muksa lasaka. If you have straw on a bed, that's pasha's going to be used for, heating. Minanea begufo. I'm allowed to get into the bed and move it with my body, right? So I could, make it nice and comfortable. Vimineach alabi bod yom. Okay, if you put something on it before Shabbos, then it's not a problem in any case. But anyway, that's the chilek. Says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rishonim, between tiltul min hatzad and tiltul begufo. So our Mishnah here talks about tiltul begufo. So a kash on the bed, you're allowed to get into bed and move around in order for it to fit your body shape. If it was already designated for animal fodder from before Shabbos, and I, you know, have that in mind. I put a blanket on the straw before Shabbos, then I already did a maisa, then I'm allowed to even move it with my hands, because that's not muksa. I've already designated it before Shabbos to be for me, for Shabbos use, and therefore it is allowed. First half of the Mishnah. Next, machbe shel ba'alei batim, a type of big press. Two large boards that are pressed together, and you put clothing inside in order to make it flat. See the carbon eida, third wide line. Shnei luchin aruchin ukvedim. Two long and very heavy boards. The sodrin abagadim alatachton. You put begadim. It's like an iron. in the serves the same function. You put the clothing on the bottom one, umoridin elyon alavin. You put the top board on top of it. The kosher is the begadim by the yisaidos. Then you put them together on these pegs that you stick in on the sides in order to tighten the boards to each other. She's based on mudim and ukavim kvuim. At the edge there are holes, and you put the pegs in, and they go up and down. You think how tight you are, how tight you want it. You put in the pegs, you swivel the pegs. So this type of kli, machmei shavali batim, matirin, you're allowed to open, you're allowed to release the pegs on Shabbos in order to get out your clothing. Av lo kovshin, but you can't tighten it. You can't tighten it. Why can't you tighten it? So many different pshatim in the Rishonim. If you look in Rashi, the Karbon Eidah here quotes Rashi, because when you tighten it, you're not going to leave it in there for an hour. It's going to be for a while. And therefore, that's l'sarach chol. To undo it, that's l'sarach Shabbos. You want to wear this now on Shabbos. But to tighten it, that would be a tzarach of chol. This is Rashi, kuf, mem, aleph, amen, aleph. Rashi says tzarach chol, and therefore, you're not be able to, you know, you're going to do this for Shabbos need, for a weekday need. Therefore, you're not allowed to do it. The Meiri says, uvdin de chol, which again is very hard to define some type of weekday activity. Maybe it smacks of a malacha. Which malacha? The Sfasema says tikkun mana, right? This is how it's used. The Gemara here seems to say binyan, as we'll see by Hashem on the beginning of today's daf. That is now it's not allowed to be tightened, but it's allowed to be released. Vishal kovsin, but the more professional irons, these boards that you have in of a professional dry cleaner, so to speak. That you can't touch. That you can't touch. That's more chamur because the Karbon Eidah explains you put that even tighter and even undoing that is going to be a problem. Undoing that is like soser, destroying, so to speak. Undoing, the opposite of bonem, and therefore that's even more chamur. Rabbi Huda Omer, Mayamuta, Me'er of Shabbos, Matar Eskelo V'Shomtan. If it was already open a little bit before Shabbos, then you could continue opening it because then it's already undone from before Shabbos. Says the Gemara. This is the last section of Gemara, Talmud, Yerushalmi, and Shabbos, right? Because the next couple of prakim are all Mishnah. There's no Gemara. So let's do it. Hakash alamita, masnisa, bishalo yashin alameyasmol. The straw, these halakas only apply if you didn't sleep on it last night. So it's not designated yet as davar muchan. Avalam yashin alameyasmol kagufahu. But if I slept on it yesterday, then it's already kagufo. It's already for me, for my need, and therefore, it is allowed to be moved. The Karbon Eidah, kilu hu malbusho shel adam. It's like my clothing, right? It goes on me. It services me. And therefore, it's not going to be muksa. Kugufahu. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, rishonim o yisholim, mao shine anenu derach atzila yadav. Right? Can you move it through a shinui? Can you move it through a shinui? Is that called with one's elbows? With one's elbows, right? The Rav Chaim Kanievsky, im gamze chash of tiltul min hatzad, right? Moving it with my elbows. Again, in a case that's muksa. It's not talking about where you lay on it yesterday, or you put the sheet on it, that is not muksa. In a case where it's muksa, I might let him move it with my elbows. Amar Rav Yanai, so if some reason Rav Yanai gets very upset about this. I looked in the Mefarshim, I was like, why he was so angry at this psak, but he says, what do you think? Karuach krecha. If somebody who allows that should have baldness in his house, meaning something should be lacking in his house, something you're missing, kapua kapicha, right? He should become poor and cut off, shafoch tsninim, amanda adilei, pour cold water on somebody who allows that. Okay? Nafal base, let his house fall down, amanda raviale, on somebody who, scatters and moves the straw in this way. Again, Rabbi Yana got very upset about anybody who would even suggest moving it with one's elbows. No, you could go in with your body, right? And that's called tilta bagufo, but not anything less than that. I guess he considers elbows not so unusual, closer to hands. Tani Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya even adds, hadein din la'ani. All of these curses are only for an ani who has no other way to be punished. But for an ashir, the Karbon Eidah says that maybe would even fine him and in order to make sure he doesn't do any of this, activities. Okay. Vahatani. So now we're getting back to the line in the Mishnah about the Machpesh. Right? The Machpesh said that the Machpesh of Bali Batim, you're allowed to undo, you're allowed to release, but you're not allowed to tighten. But the Kovsin, you can't touch. So Vahatani, one second. The Kovsin is usher why? Because Pashas Mishum bona, you're creating something, you're building something. But vatani modin chachamim l'Rabbi Meir. But we had elsewhere, if somebody has a cover of a kli that's tied on with a rope. So there are kalim that are in my kitchen, and then there are kalim that are in my backyard, not even a kli. Let's say I have a cover, let's say I have a secret cave hideout in my backyard. And I'm going to have a cover that has a that's tied on with a rope. So modim chacham Rabbi Meir, the chacham agreed to Rabbi Meir, bechosamo shebakarka. If you have ropes holding on to covers of like a cave or a pit in the ground, so there, on yantif, you are allowed to do the following. Shemefakpakin, you're allowed to try to shake the rope loose, umafkiin, and to unravel it, umatirin, and to untie it, vechodkin, or even to cut it. All of these are mutter. Why? Because at most these are isurei drabanan on yantif, and in order to get to what's inside, so we will allow that. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, we would be one step more machmir. Mefakpakin, you're allowed to shake it to try to undo it. Avolo mafkin, velo matir, velo chotfin. But you can't cut or untie or unravel. And bekelim b'Shabbos mutter. On Shabbos, those are chosam shebakarka. Those are covers for items in the ground. But if you have a cover on a kli in your kitchen, of course that's allowed. Bekelim shebeshabbos mutter. That's, you're allowed to undo that to get to what's needed inside. Ve'insarach b'yantif. Right? Obviously on yantif. So what do you see from that, this brisa? That there's no issue of stira bekelim. We touched on this also in the past. Binyan v'stira bekelim. How far does that go? But the brisa is saying, you see from here that there's no issue of a breaking or untying when it comes to a kli that you tried to get to the inside. So how could our Mishnah say that the koves, isn't that a kli also? It's big and it's professional, but isn't that a kli? So you should be able to undo it to get to what's inside. So the Gemara says, Hada Amar, no, this must be Machmesh Aso Sukakarka. Because it's big and because it's professional, it must be that they treat it like a Dover Shebakarka. Well, why is it a Kli Shebakarka? Why is that more Chamor? Because it's less designated. It doesn't have a shape Kli, and therefore it's less designated. It's more Muksa. It's less designated on Shabbos. So to here, look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Kivan de Mehadik Kolkach. Since it's so tight, the professional ones are made so tight, V'dami Lebinyanak Bakarka, that it's similar to a binyan, something that's taking place on the ground, therefore it is going to be usser. It's going to be usser in that case. Also karka, that's why our Gemara, our Mishnah says it's usser. Amra Biosi, Masdisa Amra Kain, Shokosu Lo Yigabo, and that's what the impression that you get from the Mishnah. Lo Yigabo, right? Lo Yigabo, Karbana Eita, Al Karchach Lomar, Atam, Ibnishu Kakarka. You treat it like karka, and therefore, it is Lotzara Chol, and therefore you wouldn't be able to, use it at all on Shabbos. Hajalach Perak Tolin, so it takes us through the Tolin HaSamishmeres Perak. Now we get to the last couple of prakim of Mesech Shabbos. We don't have any Gemara on these Mishnayis. We have Bavli, but we don't have Yerushalmi. It must have been lost. There's no reason that it wouldn't be Gemara on this, on these Mishnayis. Most of these Mishnayis are discussed elsewhere. We've discussed a lot of these in this Mesechta already. The Pashas, there was Yerushalmi, but it was lost. Okay. No tel Adam es bino, we haven't be Adam. A person can, we've had this when we spoke about buses earlier, a person can carry his child, even though the child is holding a Dvar Muksa. We haven't be Adam with the Evan in his, hand. Kalkal of Evan Besocha and a basket, even if there's a rock in it. We discussed this earlier. Isn't that a buses? Right? The rock is in the basket. So you have to come up with a reason why it's not a, why it's not a bus. There are those that had the girsa, if you're a member of Evan v'ha'ochel b'socha. We had that girsa. But you can say the Evan is stuck in and it's batel, to the basket, whatever the case might be. In some case, that is not a bus. That is that the Ritva says here on the Mishnah, the Ritva kuf mem aleph, amabez, where the Mishnah, the Ritva talks about this, Mishnah, the Kamash Malan, he says, if you look in the Gemara, and this was one of the days that we had earlier, that there's also fruit inside. And that's why the basket is not a busis. It's not a, my busis is davar ha'asar, and therefore becoming muksa also. It's the busis davar ha'asar, ula davar ha'mutter. And the Ritva says, kamash v'lan, koshu busis davar ha'asar ha'mutter, eno nesar. Umihu, lo sharinan hachi, elu litzorech ha'peros, o litzorech makoma shel kalkala. You're allowed to move it if you want the fruit. Right, that's in the basket, or you need the place where the basket is. Kedeisa b'gemara v'yasam nami amrinan to call hecha de efsher le mishde isura below hafsid. Also, the Gemara says if there's a way that you could tilt out or not have to move the davar ha'asur, that would be good. If you have a basel davar ha'asur davar mutter and there's no way not to move the everything, then you do it. But if there's any way to tilt off the davar ha'muksa, then obviously that's what one should do, says the Ritva. It's called hecha de'ef shalei l'mishtei isura, but shalom behefsed ulatalta laheter, asalatalta lahefsed ha, asalatalta lahamuksa im hamuchan. V'chul, and he brings a raya to that. But this is the yisod that we've had. A person could take the sun. And what about the Evan Biado and the sun? So we had that earlier. The sun, S-O-N, right, is so much more significant than the rock, than the, you don't even see the rock that's in the hands of the sun. One is allowed to be metaltel. Again, if one has a basket, truma temeya matahora. Truma temeya is muksa. Truma temeya, one it has no purpose on Shabbos or Yatif. Right? You have to burn it. You have to burn truma temeya, which you're not allowed to burn on Shabbos. Maybe you're not allowed to even burn on Yatif. We've discussed that. What about I mitoch? Bedoch shehuchel etzarech? No, that's it's too significant. Rashi and Beit Zachav Zayin. Achshavei, this is too significant of an act to be allowed on Yontif. And Rashi even says, against other Rishonim, maybe even giving it to my dog, right, which is might be allowed for a Kohen, also is not allowed on Shabbos or Yontif, any type of biur. So, but if Chuba Tamea is with Tahora in a basket of some kind, so then one is allowed to move it. V'imachulin, right, that's allowed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afmalanas, Abmedume, Be'echlumea. Rabbi Yehuda adds that if one has a situation where the truma was batel. If truma was batel in 100 chulin, so now it's not meduma anymore. But there's truma in there. What's the halacha? If you remember the Mishnah, I think in Arla, you have to take one out and give it to the kohen. So because of the gezel ashevet, right? There's truma in here, even though it's batel, and I'm allowed to eat it. You have to take one out. So the Mishnah says you can take that one out on Shabbos. Take it out on Shabbos. Isn't that tikkun? Aren't you fixing? So that's what we had earlier. Reb Chaim Kanievsky here notes, this is like the sheet of Reb Eliezer in that Mishnah, the Mishnah earlier where the Mishnah says, Reb Eliezer says, you take one out and you assume that's the one. Sa'asha nafla hu sa'asha higbia. The one that fell in is the one that came out, and therefore, that's why it's not really a tikkun. It's ki'ilu, it's already designated separately, because whichever one you take out, you assume that's the one that, was the one that fell in. Right, and that's what he says in the fourth wide line. But v'kiilu sashal chuma nikeresi the pshita ain't a tikkun laloso. Right, it's as if it is already separated. Good. Next mishnah ha'evin shall be a chavis. This has come up numerous times in the Masechta. You have a rock on top of the barrel. Mat al tzidav hino feles. You're allowed to tilt the barrel to have the rock fall off and then take out your wine. Aye, why are you allowed to do this? Isn't this a busis of davar ha'asur? And remember the lumdus of busis. If you have a dvar muchan. Under a dvar, or I shouldn't say under, servicing. Maybe it's under, maybe it's servicing. A dvar muksia becomes muksia itself. Right? So why here are you allowed to move the barrel? Isn't it a busis for the rock? So a number of answers we had earlier. Maybe busis is only if you designated exclusively to be there forever. And here you didn't. You don't want the rock to be there always. Number two, maybe shachach. Maybe you were going to take it off before Shabbos and you forgot it there. And that's also not a a busis. Right? Other answers also. So, ba'la tzivet ofela. So, either way, it's not a busis. Therefore, you can tilt it. Haisa beta chavios. If it is, amongst the other barrels, and you can't tilt it because it's surrounded by other barrels, magbia, you can lift it up. Umata tzivet ofela. You can lift it up and then put it down and then tilt it and have the rock fall off. Mo shalga akar. If you have money on a pillow, if you left the dvar muksa on your bed, what do you do? No arsakar. Hey, no flows. Yeah, pick up the pillow and have it fall on the side. Again, that's an example of tiltul min hatzad. Right? I'm touching the dvar heter and I'm moving the dvar muksa. Litzarech davar hamutter. Right? Litzarech, I want the pillow. I want to lie down on the pillow and therefore I could slide the money off. Haisal of leshes. Once we're talking about pillows, the Mishnah adds on, if there is dirt, if there is leshes, some type of dirt on the pillow, min kancha besmartet, I could wipe it with a dry, garment. A dry garment. Right? Not wet at all. Right? Wet is also, that's the malacha of libun. Of libun on Shabbos. One is not allowed to clean on Shabbos. For sure with liquid. Right? We have mentioned that any stage of the cleaning process is asr maybe da'araisa. We know there are three stages of the cleaning process, and even of the modern washing machine cycle. Right? We have the soak stage, right, which the water is just touched to the dirt. You put the washing machine fills up with water, the soak stage. Then there's the agitating stage where it shakes and it tries to shake off some of the dirt. And then there's the spin cycle where the water is removed. Any of those, all three of those are the malacha of libun. Therefore, one is not allowed to touch any liquid to a dirt on a garment on Shabbos. And therefore, it says mekancha, you can wipe it with a smartut. There is an issue the Gemara talks about. There is cleaning libun on Shabbos even without liquid. What if I have something, a piece of dirt on my shirt or on my pants, and I rub it vigorously to get the dirt off? So the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Shin Beis or so, that doing that, if it's not going to leave any type of mark, that could also be a problem. If it's going to leave a mark anyway, you're just getting some of it off, then that's not libun. You're not losing liquid. You're just rubbing off kind of like surface dirt, and therefore it would be okay. But anything more than that, rubbing vigorously, could be an issue. That's in the beginning of Shin Beis. Again, we're not going to other stuff to get through, but that's the beginning of Shin Beis, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about that there could be libun even without the liquid. Right, ha-mena'er talis chadasha shechora minatal shalea chayev, shanir yafela kamo kibus, v'chulu. Continues, we assume it's not going to get totally off, and therefore you could rub it off. Ha-isa al shel or, if it's on leather, nozala ma'amach etichala. So the Mishnah assumes that leather is not bolea, it doesn't absorb at all. It's like pouring water onto a hard counter. Right, if it's not bolea at all, then there's no issue of cleaning the surface. Good. Halacha Gimel, next Mishnah. Beis Hillel Omrim, Avir Na'am Mi'al HaShulchan, Atzamos V'Klipin. One is allowed to take off the table bones and shells. What kind of bones and shells? This is discussed in the first daf in Beitza, and other places. The Pnei Moshe assumes, based on the Bavli here, Pnei Moshe says, we're talking about a case of non-muksa, right? It's bones and shells that are edible for animals. And Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon that holds less muksas, not no muksas. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda debate muksa. That means Rabbi Yehuda has more cases of muksa and Rabbi Shimon has less cases of muksa. So Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, but here it's not muksa because it's still ra'ui l'machal klavim, olashar behema. So one is allowed to directly pick up the bones and the shells and remove them and to throw them out. That's not muksa. Ubeishamai omrim, no. You have to move it indirectly. You can basically shake out the tablecloth. Misalik is a tavla, kula minara. You can pick up the board, which we would call a tablecloth, and then shake it off, and you cannot move it directly, according to Beis Shammai. If it was mamish muksa, if it was totally inedible bones, and nothing, no purpose, then even Beis Hillel would agree, that maybe it's best not to move it directly. Good. Ma'avirin me'ala shulchan, pirurin pachas b'kazayas. One is allowed to take off from the table very small crumbs. Pachos b'kazayis, v'seir shalafunim v'shaladashim, or the pods of peas or lentils, v'b'reishu macho behema, because that's all macho behema, therefore, it's not muksa. Again, most of our garbages. Why are you allowed to take out the garbage on Shabbos? Most of the garbage is full of garbage. So, two reasons. Number one, because a lot of what's in the garbage is not garbage, right? We throw it out, but a lot of it is not garbage. Number two, it's the heter of graf shel rei. My graf shel rei, meaning if I have something putrid, disgusting, in my living space on Shabbos, and it's I need to remove it in order to have onik Shabbos, then Chazal, we're not gozer on that. That's an exclusion of a heter of moving muksa, even if it would be muksa. Period. Svog, if somebody has a sponge, if one wants more about these topics, feel free to listen to the Bavli Shiurim. Svog, im yesh lo or beis achiza. A svog, if you have a sponge, if it has a handle makankimbo, then you could use it. Because there's no issue of squeezing the sponge because you're holding the handle. As long as you don't push down tightly. If it doesn't have a handle, then you can't use it because right when you pick it up, it's going to squeeze. And that is schita. That is schita on Shabbos, which is us. Again, that type of schita could be, remember we just quoted Tosfos in the past notes that there are two schitas. There's the schita of libun that we were just talking about, squeezing out as part of the cleaning process. Then there's the schita of dush. Like squeezing out a fruit, as we're going to get to Hashem soon, that's also a problem, and this is that type of schita. Say no, as long as you're careful not to squeeze, you can pick it up on Shabbos. But either way, it's not makabel tumah. It's not a kli. If it doesn't have a handle, it doesn't have a shame kli, and it's not makabel tumah. Because what's makabel tumah? Only four things. Adam, v'kelim, ochlim, u'mashkim. That's it. Right? If it's not one of those four things, it's not makabel tumah. So this is not one of those four things, therefore it's not makabel tumah. Next, parak chavis. Parak chavis. Chavish and Ishbara, you have a barrel that broke. Matzilin mimena, mazon shalos su'udos. You have a barrel that broke on Shabbos and your wine is spilling out of the barrel. You're not allowed to save it all. Why wouldn't you be able to save it all? Right? We're talking about it's in your house. We're not talking about a burning fire taking it out. So there are different shitas in the Rishonim. Why would there be limits here? Rashi says, because you might come to fix the barrel. If you're allowed to save everything, you might come to fix the barrel. The others say the Pnei Moshe says you might come to bring Kalim from Derech Rishus Arabim. So either way, there's a limit. You're allowed to save three meals worth. And you can tell others to be involved, as we had earlier. As long as you don't not misapeg. What does that mean? The Bavli explains, putting kalim down in order, putting garments and towels down in order to catch the wine to absorb it. Not to like wipe it up. Right, to wipe it up, we'd assume that you're allowed to do that and then just throw it out because you're not going to squeeze it out. But here there's Gzera. Why are you dafka putting the towels down? To save your wine. So you might have to squeeze it out, pour into a pail to use it again. And therefore that will be the answer to Rabbanan. Next. Schitas Peris. We could spend the rest of the shiur on this, many shiur, a whole shiur on the next, but let's just try to do what we can. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to squeeze fruit out on Shabbos to get liquid out. And even if the juice oozed out of the fruit itself on Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink that. Because if you're able to drink that, then we assume that you might come to squeeze the fruit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo'och l'nayos me'amut, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If the fruit, you gathered them and you were planning to eat them, you weren't planning to squeeze them, you were planning to eat them, then ayos me'amut, whatever came out by accident, you're allowed to drink because you're not going to come to squeeze them because that's not why you gathered them. V'im l'mashkin, ayos me'anoser. But if you have the fruit, you were planning to squeeze them, and then the fruit juice came out, so then whatever came out of them is going to be usher as well. The Pnei Moshe here says here, based on the Bavli, but it's also the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Shin Chaf. Three categories of fruit. Three categories of fruit on Hilchosh in Shabbos. Number one, you have Zesim Anavim, olives and grapes. Olives and grapes are Usr D'Oraisa to squeeze. If I squeeze a grape out for its wine on Shabbos, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. And the wine that came out of that by accident, I'm not allowed to partake of. Usr going to everybody. Even if I was planning to eat the grapes, not squeeze the grapes. That's us. That's category one. That's the D'Oraisa category. Why is that? Are those different? So Rashi quotes Urchayu Bahachi. They're the most common. The most common. But that's category one. Then you have most fruit, which are called tutim verimonim. Strawberries and pomegranates, but that's the category of most fruit. So that's where there's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. That's where, not allowed to squeeze them directly, but pashas is an issa d'rabbanan to squeeze them. And if whatever came out by itself, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends why you were going to, what you were going to do with the fruit. And the Tanakhama there says usser. But that's the middle category, most fruit in the world today. And category three is our fruit that nobody ever squeezes. Nobody ever squeezes these. Right? So then, even liquid that comes out of them will you be able to partake of on Shabbos. And maybe you could even squeeze them on Shabbos. Maybe you can squeeze them. But anyway, three categories on Shabbos. A lot there. But, just to be aware. Zesim Anavim, Tutim Berimonim, and Shar Peros. Those are the three categories. Chalas Dvash, Shariska Meir of Shabbos. If you have a honeycomb that you crushed from before Shabbos, right? You want to get the honey out of the honeycomb. That will be the malacha of dush, squeezing that out on Shabbos, like taking a milk at a milking cow. The other miyatzman asurin, if it came out by itself, it's still usher because you might come to squeeze the honeycomb. For blazer matir, blazer is matir in that case. Period. Next line. This line also deserves many shiurim. Kol shabbat b'chavim lifnei Shabbos, shor nasa b'chavim b'Shabbos. Anything that was cooked before Shabbos, you can cook on Shabbos. This is the rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Much to talk about there. Solids versus liquids. The way it was prepared. Was it baked? Was it cooked? Right? There are many different details. But this is the rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. But if it was not cooked before Shabbos, Madir Rosa B'chamim B'Shabbos. Right, you're allowed to sprinkle some hot water on Shabbos. Except these types of fish. These types of fish are what we call kale bishol. They cook very easily. And therefore, even sprinkling them with hot water is not allowed on Shabbos, Kali Bishol. And we're machmer to assume, even though the Gemara says in the Bavli, in Shabbos Daf Mem, Klisheni is Enum of Ashel, but we're machmer for Kali Bishol, and most things we don't even know if they're Kali Bishol or not, so therefore we're machmer to put anything in a Klisheni if it is still Yad Soledispo. Period. Shover Adam Azachavis, Lochem and Abugogris. A person is allowed to smash open a barrel to eat what's inside. We've had this before. Also, Mikalkel, destructive act on Shabbos is usually Asur Durabanan. Rashi here says what? Rashi on this mission says, you know why you're allowed to do this? Mikalkel's Mutter on Shabbos. And all the Rishonim say, what? No, it's not. What Rashi must mean is this Mikalkel is Mutter on Shabbos. Mikalkel with Tzarech, Tavar, Ochel, inside, is Mutter on Shabbos. So a person is allowed to break open this barrel to get to what's inside. Some Rishonim, Tosfos says, maybe it only means an inferior type of barrel, a barrel that was falling apart beforehand, what's called Mustaki. This is about the opening packages, right? This has to do with that. Ubavachali is kavan lasos a kli, but you can't have kavana to make a nice kli when you break it open. Enofen mukhuvet shachavet, say Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't make a nice hole in the cover of a barrel. Rabbi Yossi Mater, he says, no, that's not the normal way to do it, and therefore it's mutter. Loikven abitzida, you can't make a hole on the side. Avalam haisen akuva lo yitin ala shava, but eshu memareach. If it already has a hole, you can't squeeze wax into there, because that's what would be smoothing the wax. That would be the malacha memareach. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa b'lefei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ba'arev, v'amar choshesh ani lo michatas. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought it might be an issa daraisa if this happens. Next, nos adash lo dogabar b'shol sheish shamur. I could put a pot to stay cool in the bottom of a pit. I want to put it in the bottom of a pit. I'm allowed to do that so that it stays guarded there. What's the chiddush of that line? Maybe that I'm not choshesh that I'm going to flatten the bottom of the pit. Right, to make it smooth, to put my pot down. I could put water into cold water to keep it cool. That's also pashut. But cold into hot, I'm also in order to warm. In order to warm. This is obviously only if this is a klisheni, or if there's so much cold water that it's not going to get the yatsa levispo. If somebody's clothing gets soaked, somebody's walking in the street and it starts pouring. I can walk home. I don't have to get undressed in the middle of the street. I can walk home. I'm not worried that I'm going to squeeze my clothing. You can keep going. Once I get home, I have to take them off, but I can lie them out, but not in public. Why? Because people might think that I wash my clothes on Shabbos. This is also a big issue. The poskim assume that this is against Rav. Rav says that Maris Ayin is Asur Afilu B'chadri Chadarim. Right? Maris Ayin is even Asur in private, and this Mishnah seems to say is only Asur in public. Right? You're only allowed to do it on a Bechama below Keneged Ha'am. Let's try to do one more Mishnah. Harocheis B'mei Ma'ara B'mei Tveria. If somebody is washing at the time when it was Mutter in the Mei Ma'ara B'mei Tveria, Mistabik Afilu B'Esra Aluntis, you could dry yourself. Even with 10 towels, we're not choshesh that you're going to squeeze them. Lo yaviyam biyado, but you can't carry them. Because if you carry them home, we're nervous that you might come to squeeze them. But 10 different people could use one towel, even though it's going to be soaked. Because they're going to remind each other not to do the malacha. And you can bring it home. No, let's just try to finish. A person is allowed to smear and massage their intestines and stomachs on Shabbos. That's not cool. The Dvar Refuah. Because even Briam, even healthy people do this. Avalomis Amlin, you can't do it. You can't strain yourself in an exercise extreme type of way. Avalomis Gardener, scrape off some extra skin. Also is considered for different reasons. Maybe it's Tircha, maybe it's Rafua. And Yardin La Piluma, you can't go to Piluma. Piluma was a place that's called Diumsis in the Bavli. That was a place either that it was very hot and therefore it was considered strain Hitamlut. Or maybe it was going to be a case where you're definitely going to get dirty. It was muddy and you might come to do washing. Venos and a pick to visit Shabbos. One is allowed to take something on Shabbos to make them vomit. Right? Because that's refuah. Ve'ma'atzvenes ha'katan v'lo machzirnes ha'shever. The Bishtir says you can't, when a child is born, to get their bones in place or put back a broken limb. The Rashi and the Ritva both say that we paskin against the Mishnah. Mishadifrigal yado araglo, if a person's arm or leg is dislocated, lo yitrim betzonein, you can't soak it. Just that aver in cold, because that's clearly nikarber for refua, avo rochi zukadarko. But in the days of old, when you were allowed to wash, you could wash the whole body. V'nisrapa disrapa, and if it's healed, it's healed. Again, this is we're not paskining at all from this Mishnah, in terms of broken bones and other types of issues. No, Lamaisa, there are issues about Sakanas Aver, which we can't get into Lamaisa now, but this takes us through Hadron Lok Perek HaChavis. Tomorrow, next time, we finish up Meseches Shabbos.